Hi, my name's Nigel Foster. I teach EC and EU law. I also set exams on EU law, hundreds to date. And so far, over the years I've been teaching, I've marked thousands, if not tens of thousands, of exams. And I also, as you may have seen, have written a couple of books on EU law. I'm here today to give you a few tips on revision and examination technique, which will hopefully help you in your revision and exams. I'm going to start by looking at revision. I'm going to say to you that the first and best possible thing that you could do for any exam is to have worked consistently throughout the course. Now, if you did that, that's fine. If you didn't, that's also fine because it's not too late. It's revision time. For revision preparation, what you need to do is produce a set of concise notes right at the start of the revision period. What you actually write up will depend on what you decide personally to revise. University exams should actually reflect what has been taught during the year. There's no guarantee, of course, of knowing if a topic will appear in an examination. They're usually closed book examinations, but there are some indicators. First of all, of course, the topics that you've covered on your course. Depending on the length of course, you can probably identify 8 to 12 topics. To help you with this, you should consult past papers for evidence. Other indicators of what might come up are the numbers of lectures spent on particular topics, the topics in the tutorials and for essays during the course of the year, and whether certain matters were topical in your particular year. How much should you revise? Okay, from your list of probable topics, you need to decide how many and which ones you personally are going to revise. Revising less than 50% of the course is by nature a gamble, and only the very brave should do this. Revising 100% is time consuming, so you have to find the balance which is right for you depending on how conscientious or indeed how lazy you are or have been during the year. Past papers and the rubric, you know, how many questions to be answered from how many set and whether there are sections, etc., will inform you which ones you should revise personally. Obviously, go for the topics you understood well, have good notes for, or enjoyed, but be prepared always for the mixed question in making your decision. Past papers will be the best evidence of this, unless the course lecturer and examiner have changed this year, or have advised a change in the questions you might expect. Now, how to revise? My advice is not passively, but actively. And by this I mean, don't just read your notes or mechanically underline or highlight passages. It might make the words stand out, but it'll be useless if you end up emphasising most of the page. Equally, don't photocopy masses of material to read for revision rather than your own edited or distilled notes. In case you had not noticed, it's a bit late for that now. You might, for example, read the material out loud, and if it helps, pace the room at the same time, because materially continually recited tends to stick in the mind. It encourages activity and aids concentration, or at least it stops you falling asleep, and also you might get fit with all the pacing. Or rewrite the notes over and over again, and as they become more and more familiar, it will become possible to slim down the notes to headings, or keywords, or just the case law, or bullet points to prompt your memory. Try looking at some of the past questions and drafting possible answers, some in full in the time permitted, and some in plan form but without reference to notes. You can then check later to see if you've covered most, if not all, points. Planned introductions are useful, but don't prepare model answers to be written regardless of the actual question. That way leads to failure. A concise introduction could form a common opening to a range of questions on a particular topic. The advantages of this are that it saves time and preparation for you and the examiner for what will follow. Additionally, definitions of certain key concepts or words can be prepared. For example, direct effects or direct applicability. Whilst accurate citation of cases is not strictly necessary or expected in examinations, it's nevertheless welcome and it helps demonstrate your mastery of the material. Don't skip the last tutorials or lectures. You might actually learn something to your advantage, even if you've already decided not to revise the subject matter of the last topic. And finally, plan your revision time to take account of time available per exam and the work that you need to put in per subject, if weak in one or more subjects in particular. And now, the examination. At the start of the examination, when you're told you can write, allow about 10 to 15 minutes, if necessary, to read over the whole paper and be sure of the rubric in terms of how many answers and any section requirements. Select the questions you intend to attempt, but read them at least twice and understand what the questions are actually requiring in an answer. Then you can work out how many minutes per answer you have remaining. A good compromise is to find a question about which you are confident and can carry on with. But don't spend too long on it. Finish it if you can before the allotted time for that question. When you've finished the first question, you will be in a better frame of mind to read the rest of the paper and choose the remaining questions. Now I'm going to come on to the most important rule in respect of the exam, and that is answer all the questions required. Omitting this leads to more failures or drastically lower marks than any other error in my experience, particularly if you only have two or three questions to answer in the exam. If two, and you've only answered one, well, the arithmetic is fairly easy. If a pass mark is 40%, you've got to get at least 80% in the one remaining. Highly unlikely. It's not so bad if you have four or five questions, but the golden rule, the most important rule, remains the same. Answer all the questions required. Also, if you move on and make sure that you start a new question, you will pick up more marks by starting that question than by spending additional time on the first one. If you find you're reaching your time limit for an answer, leave plenty of space and move on to the next question. You can always come back later to finish the question if you have sufficient time. As a last resort, when time has virtually run out, include brief notes of what you would have written, had time permitted, or refer to your plan as the continuation of the answer, or, if really desperate, as the answer itself. The second most important rule is make sure you answer the question set and not the one you would have liked the examiner to set. Questions in examinations and other pieces of work rarely, if ever, take the form of please write all you know about this topic, or please write all you know about EU law at any time. But that is often the form of answer that is produced, and I've seen many examples of that. You must answer the question. Answer plans now for essay and problem questions. Although you'll be anxious to get on and start writing, always plan a structure of the main points to provide a coherent answer and to avoid repetition. Essay questions are intended to get you to discuss the points of law arising, especially controversial points, new developments, and to give overviews of the whole topic. They can involve the citation of an extract from a judgment or from an academic article, from an official report, or less frequently, a legislative provision. Sometimes a statement is not attributed to any of these sources, which usually means that the examiner has devised this statement him or herself. The words explain, comment, evaluate, and discuss are all similar terms which require much more than a descriptive answer. They require you to give reasons, to put the comment or quote into context, and to show the influence on the development of the law, or require you to show the strengths and weaknesses of alternative points of view. The plan should begin by breaking down the question into its different requirements, unless the statement is short and straightforward. Next, try to define any words or phrases which need further explanation. The part of your plan which identifies the topic and legal issues may be useful as the basis for the introduction. Above all, remain relevant, so that when considering including additional information, ask yourself, does this really assist in answering the question? If the answer is not really, then don't bother including it. Problem questions try to get you to apply provisions and principles of law to factual circumstances. For years now, I have suggested a simple, perhaps even simplistic, acronym or mnemonic to help you remember this technique. FLAC. It spells FLAC. It stands for facts, law, and the law can include provisions of primary and secondary legislation, both at the European Community level and national level. It can include case law and indeed principles of law. Then A, the application of the law to facts, and finally the C, either conclusions or consequences. Write it down, that FLAC that is, at the top of the answer sheet, and it might help you get at least a basic order for your answer. So, state the relevant material facts. With two or more potential parties, make notes for each, but if they coincide, you may answer for two or more parties at the same time. State laws and apply the provisions of law and supporting cases to the facts. If there is inconsistency between cases, you should distinguish these cases from each other, commenting on whether or not the distinction could affect the outcome. Do not concern yourself if you can't remember the full name of a case or any part of the name, but make sure by a brief description of the case you mean. In most instances, this will be acceptable, as it is the principle of law which is important and not the names of cases themselves. As you write your answer, further relevant material will be remembered which can be incorporated. Always start your answer on a clean page and leave plenty of space, even a clear page, between your answers or write on every other line in case you have to introduce material at a later stage. Using statutory materials in the examination room. Most institutions now allow statutory materials to be referred to during the examination. Therefore, you don't need to memorise statutory provisions whilst revising, and it leaves you more time to consider the application and interpretation of the law. In any case, there is no need to reproduce the whole of a legislative provision in an answer. At best, extracts from it or a good short paraphrase will do. Don't, though, completely ignore the legislative provisions prior to the examination, because you will be unfamiliar with them and will probably waste time finding the relevant provisions in the exam. If you can, try to treat these materials as a last resort or a mental crutch to which you can refer should your memory fail you. There is no compulsion to look at them at all, but you may still need to cite specific parts of the provisions when using a particular provision to support your answer. That's it, essentially, for the revision and examination advice. It just remains for me now to wish you all the very best in the exam and hope you do yourself a real favour by firstly working hard and then doing well.